Turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart shall not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. From the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord.
Thanks, Matt, for reading, and David for praying for us. How about we'll pray and then we'll look at God's Word together. Lord, have mercy. Please hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the entrance of your word to give light and understanding. And we pray for your spirit to write your words on our hearts, to incline it towards you, that we can walk in your ways. We ask that you would overcome the blindness and the deafness that we have, and help us to see you as desirable, that we can seek your face and to long to be in your presence and to behold your beauty. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. I find often when I need to put the title of the sermon in the bulletin, I put one title. Then as I keep working on the sermon, it kind of changes. So I hope that's not too confusing. So I think there are two words in the psalm that come out. The word confidence in God and seeking God. So there are two kind of things that come out in this psalm that captures it. But let me ask you a question to start off. What do you do when you face trouble? Where do you find strength to face trouble? Maybe if your friends are difficult, or they kind of reject you, or maybe your boss is giving you a hard time at work, or you're having some conflict with your work colleagues or at home. Like, where do you find strength to face life's challenges, to deal with trouble and difficult circumstances? In this fallen world, there will be times when things are difficult. So how do you face these challenges? Where do you find your confidence and strength? In this psalm, we see David's response in trouble. Verses 1 to 3 show us that David is confident to face life's challenges. In verses 4 to 12, we see David seeking God so that he can find his strength, his confidence in God. And in verses 13 to 14, he's waiting for God to act. So there's no resolution yet, but he has put his hope in God, and so he's waiting for God to act. So we're going to go through the passage with David and then apply it to ourselves. What is the trouble David is facing? In verse 12, we know that he's facing malicious accusations. People are talking about him. People are saying bad things about him. There's a bit of dissension, a bit of rebellion, a bit of false accusations against him. And David is a leader, and often when you're in a position of leadership, there's a lot of people who will be unhappy with you. We see this in the papers when there are differences of opinion, and someone may be out to get you, someone may be out to get rid of your leadership. They may not like you. We don't know exactly what the historical context of this psalm is. We're not told. But we know that David had times in his life when he faced enemies. Early on in his life, after Samuel anointed David to be the future leader, the king, we know that Saul was angry with David. Saul was jealous that David was so popular. He had defeated Goliath and everyone was singing his praise, and Saul was really angry. Saul actually went after David to take his life. And so David hid in the stronghold. So it could refer to that situation. It could refer to some other situation. We are not told. But David is facing opposition, and he finds his strength, his confidence in God. Look at verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So David is confident because he's saying that God is with me. God is like a stronghold. He's like a refuge, a tower. Like when you watch The Lord of the Rings, you've got some impenetrable fortress. I hope, sometimes it gets penetrable, but let's imagine it's impenetrable. So God is that stronghold of his life. God is his protector, and so he is safe. He doesn't need to fear anyone. That's what he's saying. That's his confidence. It's rooted in who God is. In the next verse, he said, verse 2, please read it in your Bibles. Verse 2, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. So when people come against me, it's not me who's going to get defeated. It's them who's going to be defeated. They are going to fall down. They're going to lose. In verse 3, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. So he's saying that even if it's the worst case scenario, even if there's an army, there's a war, it's such a big problem, even then I can be confident. So David's confidence is still in God, no matter what the surrounding circumstances are that he is facing. Let's look at the next verses. Verses 4 to 12, David seeks God. Where did David get his confidence from? From his relationship with God. Let me read verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Isn't it remarkable? He's facing enemies who are talking against him. They're out to get him. And we often would be focusing on that, like all the trouble we are facing. But what does David say? He says, I'm not going to focus on the smear campaign against me. My prayer is that I can see God. My prayer, my focus is that I can live in God's presence, that I can be with God throughout my life. So he's not consumed by his troubles. His focus is on seeking God. He desires God. This is the one thing that he asked for and he is seeking, being with God. He talks about the house of the Lord in his temple. That's because in the Old Testament, that's the place people went to be with God. God dwelt in the most holy place, in the temple. Even though God is everywhere, he chose to dwell there. So he wants to be in God's presence. So David's confidence, verses 1 to 3, comes from God. He knows that if he focuses on God, that's where he will get strength to face life's challenges. We see that in the next verse. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. See, he's confident because he knows who God is. God is his tower of refuge, his strength, his protector. So he is safe. He doesn't need to fear what is happening around him. In verse 6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. So he is confident that because God is with him, he will overcome his enemies. He will be victorious. Verse 7. Teaches us not to take prayer for granted. In verse 7, he says, hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. See, as sinners, we don't deserve to come into God's presence and to talk to God. And David acknowledges that. He says, God, be merciful to me. Answer my prayer. In verse 8, he reminds us that God wants us to seek him. God calls us to seek him. So David responds by seeking God's face. Verse 9 reminds us again that David is like you and I. He is a sinner. So he prays, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Verse 10. Again, we see David's confidence in verse 10. He says, even if the closest people in my life reject me, like my father, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Verse 11. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. When we face enemies, when we face people out against us, it's so easy to stoop to their level. It's so easy to do the wrong thing. But David prays. He says, God, let me do right. Let me act honorably. Lead me in a straight path rather than taking the crooked path. So that's his prayer when he's faced with bad people doing bad things to him. And verse 12, do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. He prays for protection. He asks God to protect him from the malicious accusations. So verses 4 to 12 is David seeking God in the face of the trouble that he's facing. And let's go on to the final verses. Verse 13 and 14. So he's seeking God. And then, like often in life, I think we live in an instant generation. We want God to just snap his finger and problem solved. But it's not like that. Sometimes there's a time of waiting. And so verse 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. So after seeking God, he resolves to wait for God to act. He's trusting that God will come through, even though it's not immediate. Okay, so that's David. How about us? I think we can learn the same lessons for ourselves. Like all of us will face challenges in life. Where do we get our strength? Where does our confidence come? So we can be confident as we know who God is by our relationship from God. Oops. There is it. Okay, so we can be confident as we know who God is, one. We can grow in our confidence by seeking God, two. And three, learning to wait upon God. Sometimes it's not instant, isn't it? We face challenges. It's a process. God is at work, even though we can't explain all and how he's working. But notice the first thing. Grow in confidence in God by knowing God personally. Notice the personal pronouns. The Lord is not a light or a general light. The God, Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? So it's personal. David, as he grew up as a shepherd boy, he faces challenges and God came through for him. When he faced the lion, when he faced the bears, when he faced Goliath, his confidence grew because he saw God work in his life and God help him, God rescue him. So when we go through problems, we need to pray to God and ask God for his help and then see God deliver us, and then our confidence will grow because it's been tested. We've seen God's faithfulness for ourselves. We have experienced God in our own lives. Two, we can grow in confidence by seeking God. See, David's confidence didn't come from himself. It came from God. It came from his relationship with God. And so as we grow in knowing God by spending time with God, then we will grow in our confidence because we know who God is. Our theme for EC this year is loving God. And we chose the theme because sometimes there's so much of things that need to be done. There's a lot of things that need to be done. But sometimes we can do these things but not have a living, personal, vibrant, refreshing relationship with God. And that's what we want. We want out of our relationship with God, all our service, all our ministry, all that we do flow from our relationship with God. So we need to put loving God first. And out of love for God, then everything else flows. Verse 4. One thing I ask. See the focus. One thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's where his heart is. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Like for us to know that God is beautiful. To taste and see that the Lord is good. See, you and I were created for a relationship with God, to know God. And so that is to be our focus. We saw it a couple of weeks ago with Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, Jesus told Martha, one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion. What was the good portion? What was the one thing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. So for us at EC this year, we want our worship, that's to be our focus, then our work will flow from our worship, our relationship with God. We don't want to just be doing stuff. We are human beings, not human doings. So out of our being will flow our doing. Because that's how we were created. And for me personally, as I read Psalm 27, it teaches me the importance of humility. Verse 7 says this, "Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." I think often when I pray, I just pray. But David is sort of, before he's praying, he's saying, "Lord, hear me." I just assume God hears me. But David says, "Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be merciful to me and answer me." It was a reminder for me that I don't deserve to talk to God. I don't deserve to be in a relationship with God because I am a sinful person. And so God does not have to hear me. God doesn't have to answer my prayers. I grew up in an Anglican church in Malaysia, and we had this in our liturgy, like the order of service. The leader would say, "Lord, have mercy," and the congregation would reply, "Hear our prayer." I did it for years and didn't understand what it meant, or what is all these rituals and all these kind of sayings and all that. But then as I read Psalm 27, that's what it's saying. It's saying that as we approach God, we should be humble. We should realize that, you know what? I don't deserve to even pray to God. I don't deserve to have access to God who is holy because I am sinful. So it's a good reminder for me to remember who God is and that it's only by His mercy that I can approach Him. It comes across in a few verses as well. Verse 9, "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior." Like, I just assume God hears me. Like, I don't pray like that. I don't say, "Lord, don't hide your face from me. Lord, don't turn your face away from me. Don't reject me." Like, that's not in my prayer vocabulary. But I think it teaches me to be humble, to say, before I pray, to say, "Lord, have mercy for me." It's humbling to say that. I find it even hard to say that sometimes. I mean, this week as I'm learning this, it says, "Lord, do not hide your face from me." That's a humbling thing to say. Don't turn your servant away in anger. So I'm to come to God humbly. Verse 10. And this verse is also about humility. It says, "Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations." Even this is really humbling. It's acknowledging that God has the power to hand us over to our enemies. It's like the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? The Lord's Prayer says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." It's an acknowledgement that God is sovereign over everything, over my life. The power of life and death is in God's hand. So it's a humbling thing. But there's a balance in it. There's the aspect of humility, but there's the aspect of also confidence. So verse 13, verse 10. It's about confidence. Even if the closest people in my life, my friends, my mom, my dad, even if everyone rejects me, the Lord will receive me. That's our confidence. We, in the New Testament, we know God has promised us that. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So that's our confidence. God has said it. We can be confident. Verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we can be confident that, yeah, in all things, God works for our good, His purposes. So that's, this psalm is in the Old Testament. As we go into the New Testament, we have even more reason to be humble and confident. We are humble because we know Romans chapter 3. We know that we're even worse than the old, we know that we are sinful. We know the depth of sinfulness even more because we have the full revelation of Scripture. The depth of our sinfulness, that is why Jesus died on the cross to deal with our problem of sin. We also know the depth of God's commitment to us, that God, who would, yes, kill His own Son so that we can have access to Him, so that we could enter into His presence, that we can be adopted as His children, that God is our Father. In the Old Testament, they never prayed to God as Father, but Jesus, He says, when you pray, say our Father. So we can be even more confident because we have the full revelation that if God sent His Son to die for us, then we know that God is committed to us and we can be confident. So this week, as you go out in your week, yeah, be humbled, but also be confident, knowing that God is committed to us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's pray. Lord, have mercy. Hear our prayer. Father, thank you for the reminder that we don't have access to you if it was not for your Son Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for His death on the cross that tore the curtain of the temple in two. We thank you, Father, that we who live today have much better promises, Lord. Father, thank you for the promise of your Holy Spirit that lives in us. We pray, Father, that as we go through life, that you would help us to grow in our relationship with you. We pray that you will help us to be confident, knowing that you are our refuge, you are our strength, you are our fortress, you are our provider, you are our good shepherd. Lord, we pray that we would know that if you send Jesus to die for us, that you are committed to us. Help us to grow in our trust in you. We pray, Father, for those who are struggling, going through difficult times. Lord, that you would strengthen their faith and trust in you, that they can wait upon you for you to act, and not lose heart. So Father, we pray as we go out through this week, Lord, that you would be our confidence and in all that we face, Lord, we would know that you are with us, and so we can be confident. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.